Good morning and happy Mother's Day. If you are a mother, happy Mother's Day. If you are a child and you can, make sure you call your mom. If you are a child and your mom has passed on, I am so sorry. And we'll be praying for you later in the service today, because the loss of a mom is a huge loss in our lives. So, as we are in the fifth Sunday of the resurrection season, I'm going to once again quote to you from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, verses 25 and through 27. Once again, Jesus is coming. He's arriving where Lazarus has died. Martha greets him at a distance, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Then he looks at her and he says, "Do you believe this?" And Martha's response always just astounds me. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." May each of us today believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world and who now comes into every heart that says yes to him. Let's bow. Father, I thank you for this day that you've made, a day that we can gather together and rejoice. It is the Lord's Day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of you, our Lord and Savior, the one who came to earth, was born a tiny baby, fragile, weak, and yet grew up to be the very presence of God among us. Father, thank you for allowing your Son to come, to take on flesh, to dwell among us, so that we might behold your glory. Father, today, draw us close to you through Jesus Christ in the power of your Spirit. Amen. So we are in Revelation chapter 19. And I'm going to tell you that just like the passage that we read, there's really good stuff in here and there's some difficult stuff in here. And bottom line message for me to give you today is I want you to have an eternal perspective, okay? This is your big picture view. I want you to get beyond the COVID-19 world. I want you to get beyond the physical, fleshly world, the material world that we live in. I want you to get beyond and lift your eyes to a spiritual realm and to a world without end. And I want you to realize that in Jesus Christ, there is a great day waiting. That's my message for you this morning. As we think about the power of the resurrection, as we think about what God has done in that and through that, we can celebrate no matter how difficult things are here in this world, because we know there is a great and glorious day coming, a grand reunion, a feast and a celebration to end all celebrations. And I am excited about that, and that's what I'm sharing with you. It does come with a little bit of bad news. And you know, one of the things that I have learned is there's not really good news without bad news. You know, you got to have bad news in order to have good news. If everything is always good, nothing's good. You know, but when you have the bad news, when you recognize what things are, when you look around us and we see the chaos and we see the confusion and we realize that God is going to put an end to all that, we have some really good news to give. So Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgments are true and just. For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, who has avenged on her the blood of His servants." Once more they cried out, "Alleluia! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Father, as we come to your word today, I just ask that you would lift our gaze beyond this world and take us into your eternal presence and help us to experience the truth that in you we have everything we need, both now in this world and for the eternity that is to come. And help us to once again place our trust in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now I need to give you a little background and a little backup, and then today's message is probably going to be just a little bit shorter than I usually do. Because the bottom line is, I want you simply to praise God for the fact that He is God. And I want you to realize what He has done for anyone who will call upon His name. This book, the book of Revelation, was written in a time of tribulation and persecution. This book of Revelation was written to a church that was struggling and suffering. It was written to a church that was being persecuted. It was written to a group of people that were wondering, where is God? And if God is real and if God is true, how come I am being persecuted? How come when I claim the name of Jesus Christ, things aren't really good for me? They're really bad. How come the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this world just seem to constantly gain so much, and those who worship you, Lord, are struggling and failing and being beaten down? And yet we have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus around the world. This is their reality. Every day, simply because they love Jesus Christ, they are beaten, they are persecuted, they're separated from their loved ones, they are locked up, They are often, their stuff is taken from them, their land, their houses, their clothes. And many of them end up paying with their life. You see, that is a reality today. And this letter was written to try and help people going through intense tribulation and persecution. Tribulation and persecution, unlike anything that we have experienced here in the United States. COVID-19 is not fun. COVID-19 has been scary. There's been a lot of changes to our life. But it's not anything like the persecution, the destruction that is happening around the world to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this letter was written specifically to encourage, specifically to enable those who are going through a lot to say, hang in there, because God is still at work and he's still on his throne and he's still going to do something. I was doing a sermon series on this sometime in the past and I didn't get very far. I got through about chapter 5 and then I abandoned that track and got on something a little easier for myself. But as we look at this, I am always struck by the janitor who was cleaning for a prestigious university, and he was sitting in the bleachers of the basketball rink, eating his lunch and reading his Bible. And he was being ribbed by these very intelligent, very rich, very aristocratic students. And they say, hey, old man, what you reading? He said, I'm reading the book of Revelation. And they all started laughing. And they said, oh, yeah, so, you know, tell us, what's that all about? And he just looks up and he smiles at them and says, Jesus wins. You see, that's the book of Revelation in a nutshell. Jesus wins. That's the hope that we have. Because of what God has done through Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection, all authority and all power is going to be placed in submission to him. Jesus wins. So if we are with Jesus, we win too. If we are in him, we win too. And that's the bottom line message. And part of this, we like God's grace, and we like his forgiveness, and we are so thankful for it and for his mercy that when we see his justice, sometimes it makes us squirm just a little bit. And to hear that there's rejoicing in heaven when God overthrows the prostitute, when God overthrows the great prostitute, when he casts him down, I mean, that it hurts our hearts, and we struggle. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that this prostitute is not a person per se. It is a spirit, and it's a spiritual force, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms that are working through humanity, that are working through people. And God is ultimately going to overthrow those forces of wickedness. In Ephesians that we looked at last week, I reminded you that there are spiritual forces at work. There are spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms, and we don't wrestle against each other. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against those forces. Those forces sometimes are made visible through people. People are used by them. People are deceived by them. And God is going to overthrow those forces of wickedness. And he's going to cast them down. And we and all those who have been persecuted by the spiritual forces of wickedness, all of those who have struggled under the weight of the bitterness and the shame of sin and all that it has, we are going to rejoice. That's what this is about. Is that there's going to come a day when we're going to see God triumphant and we are going to be rejoicing with him. rejoicing in him. And so we look, and at the beginning of this, we have loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, a loud cacophony of praise. There are multitudes who have been saved, who have been redeemed, the heavenly host, as well as everyone who is called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are going to shout out, hallelujah. So what does hallelujah mean? Praise Yahweh. Yeah, thank you. Praise Yahweh. And one of the things we sang the song, there is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. I think I can remember the lines. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. I better not. I'll start dancing up here. It'll go south in a hurry. I know this may sound shocking to you, but this was written, this idea was written in a world where they believed in other gods. There is only one high God. Even the Jews didn't believe Yahweh was the only God. They believed he was the only true God, the only high God, the only exalted God, the only God like him. Yahweh is supreme. But they believed we are more comfortable with spiritual forces. Those spiritual forces they would have called gods. To sing there's no God like Jehovah if you don't really believe there are any other gods is sort of a waste of time. Think about it. I mean, what are you saying? There's no nothing like Yahweh. You know, the reality is there is God. There is Yahweh, and there is none like him. There's no spiritual force like him. And so they shout, this great multitude lifts up their voices and they shout, praise Yahweh, hallelujah. There is no God like him. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. This is the God who has redeemed us. This is the God who has chosen us. This is the God who has made us. There is no God like him, for his judgments are true and they are just. They are righteous. And he has judged the iniquity, the great prostitute, the deceivers, those who have created chaos and famine and difficulty, those who have oppressed the poor and the orphans and the widows and have used and abused humanity and have worshipped the dollar and all that. You see, prostitution isn't just about sex. It's about worshiping anything other than the one true living God. Throughout the biblical record, an adulterer, the children of Israel were called adulterers because they worshipped something other than Yahweh. They turned away from the one true living God. And God is going to expose all of those as lies and insignificant and less than that which should be worshipped. And he's going to bring about justice and righteousness. And he is going to avenge the blood of the saints. How do you feel when you hear those words? Does it make you squirm just a little bit? He's going to avenge the blood of the saints. It should make you squirm, actually. Because we've been taught that we're supposed to forgive. We've been taught that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We're supposed to hope for them. But on this final judgment day, God is going to right every wrong. And he is going to avenge the blood of his saints, his servants, those who have served him. And so once more they cried out, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. God's justice made visible through the destruction of evil and iniquity and unrighteousness. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, amen, so be it. Alleluia, praise Yahweh. And from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. I believe that's the voice of our Lord calling to us, the word of the Lord speaking to us. Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Our God is worthy of praise. Our God is worthy of adoration. Our God is worthy to be exalted. And when that voice from the throne speaks and calls all the people to praise him, all those, both small and great, to praise him, and I love the fact it's small first and great second, all of them, when he calls them to do that, it says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Have you ever stood at the base of something like Niagara Falls and just heard the roaring, crashing waterfall, the roar of that waterfall? It's overwhelming. You can feel the air being pushed back by it. It's really impressive. And that's what happens. There's a voice of a great multitude, and their voice is magnified, and it's loud, and it's ongoing. The peals of thunder that roll through the sky, and they all are saying, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Weddings, marriage ceremonies, they're so joyous. They're such a joyous event. There's a celebration that goes on, and within the Jewish culture, you know, there was the celebration supper would go on for a long period of time. We know from the wedding in Cana of Galilee that, you know, it went on so long they ran out of wine, and Jesus had to make more for them. There's this great celebration and tremendous joy and hope and enthusiasm and excitement. And this wedding day is a day that has been planned from before time began. This is a wedding day and a wedding feast that our loving Father has spared no expense to put together. It's the most costly wedding that you will ever attend. And it's going to be the most wonderful celebration and feast when the bride, the church, is finally united in glory with her Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lamb who was slain is going to be made one with those that he purchased with his blood. And it's going to be a celebration like no other. It's going to be awesome. And we get to participate in it. That's what the resurrection does for those who believe in it. And it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. His bride has made herself ready, and it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. I think about that. It was granted to her. She didn't earn it. She didn't deserve it. We don't earn the righteous robes of our Lord. We don't earn them. We are granted to wear them. To wear the robes of righteousness purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yes, we have these. It says, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. We maybe are contributing to the beauty of the clothes that we wear. I don't know. But it's granted to us to wear them. If we go back to the passage that I talked about in Ephesians 2 last week, and we think about, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But you have been made for good works. You have been made to do things. And those things have been planned since before the foundation of the world. And as we involve in those, I don't know, maybe that's some of the fancy embroidery on the robes that we're going to be wearing. I have no clue what that really means. But we get to participate, but it's because of God's grace. And I just want to remind you again, it's all by God's grace. God is the one who gives us the gift. God is the one who woos us and calls us. We call that prevenient grace. God is the one who saves us, and we call that saving grace. God is the one who fills us and cleanses us and makes us holy, and we call that sanctifying grace. And God is the one who is going to glorify us, and that is glorifying grace. Every step of the way, it is God who is doing it, God who is granting it, God who is gifting it. We get to participate, but it's all because of His amazing grace. And it's all due to His amazing grace. Brothers and sisters, I hope to see you at that great wedding feast. I hope that you're a participant. You have been purchased with such a great price. God has paid and lavished and spared no expense to set up the most exciting celebration that you will ever see. Don't miss it. Say yes to Jesus. Now, I was reading something this week, and here's the bad news side of things. The bad news side of things is there are an awful lot of people that maybe don't realize there's bad news. And they think they're basically good and that they don't really need to be saved. And it's my prayer that we would help them to understand that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that we have to submit to God and to His grace and to His way. We have to yield to Him and come to Him on His terms. Allow Him to wash us and cleanse us and clothe us. And so if you're out there and you have never said yes to Jesus Christ, I would invite you to do that. I would invite you to just say yes to Jesus today so that you can be part of the feast, so that you can be part of this glorious celebration that will be unlike any celebration that has ever taken place or could ever take place on earth. God wants you to be a participant there. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I just ask you, humbly ask you, if you haven't done it already, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have, I just ask you, keep your eyes fixed on that day. Keep your eyes fixed on the day that God will right all wrongs and we will sit and dine with Him at the table, that we will praise Him, and that our voices will join in the thunderous echo of all those who say, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is only one, Almighty God, and He is ours, and He has called us to Himself. Father, today I pray that we would fix our eyes upon You, that we would let go of our fears and our worries and our frets over the things of this world, and that we would turn our eyes to eternity and realize the great banquet that You are preparing, and help us Lord, to prepare ourselves. Help us to allow you to wash us and cleanse us. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to love you, to point people to you at all times, in all places, with everything that we say and everything that we do. Because, Father God, there is no God like you. No one who is worthy of praise like you are. And so together we will say, Hallelujah. For you are the Lord our God, the Almighty who reigns. And we will rejoice and exalt and give you glory, the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' precious, holy name, amen. Amen. It is my hope that today, as you go about your day, you will go praising God, that you will go rejoicing in Him, that your eyes would be lifted to eternity, and that you would be looking with great anticipation to the wedding banquet that awaits us one day, that you would be rejoicing in what God has done through Jesus Christ, His Son. God bless you as you go praising Him this day and every day.